Blog Talk Radio.
In this country, we have a tradition, a celebration of culture, where one community meets another, a beautiful marriage of tastes and flavor. Soulful Soul Food. It's our pride. It's our heritage. On this table, we present the best of the best. And for those that dare to go the extra mile, the ones that try something new, to them, we reserve a seat at the table. A chance to wear the crown. Today, we celebrate a new culture, a new flavor, a new tradition. Introducing Kikkoman for taste and tradition.
Huddle up. It is I. We back at it. The sports procrastinator D. Gibb calling to you live from Lagos, Nigeria, the way of Long Beach, California. We got the Huddle Sports Nation. How you guys doing out there? I'm doing great. Hanging in there, trying to weather these storms in the world of sports. Most interesting enough, I'm going to start off with talking about the showdown tonight in boxing, which is Javante Tank Davis picking on Barreros. I got to put him to sleep in four rounds. This guy got a little range on him, though. He's, first of all, he's tall. Other than that, he punched pretty hard. I don't know if he can take nothing, though. We're going to see, especially coming from them bombs Tank delivering. Had the pleasure of watching this, like the 24/7 on Tank. And learned some interesting facts. One, I see that where he lacked that and where he, I would assume we're going to see tonight if he worked on it. If he can go, if it goes past 4-5, 6-7, 8-9, what does he do in the later rounds? Because Tank seems to fade because he normally has a problem with making weight at that 130 division, which he probably won't be down there yet much longer. It's not no competition down there. Lomachenko's done. It's time for them to move up. I perceive within the next, I would say, 1.5 years, can't be up at 147 where the real money's at, which is the class of boxing, except for Canelo and other weight class. But I mean, Canelo doesn't fight a Charlo brother. It's just futile. Has to fight everybody. I don't want to see him beat up a wide light heavyweight. I don't want to see a Triple G fight again. I want to see you in there with that Charlo boy. Yeah, it's boxing night, fight night. I mean, this guy's been, I'm proud of Tank from where his kid came from. You know, he comes from the main streets of Baltimore. If nobody knows his history, mom was a crackhead. Again, father displaced. And he's made something of his life, and he's really, actually, if you look at it, look how they run into the pay-per-view now. Now, this is the reason why I love Al Heyman so much in the commands of boxing, because Bob Arum had a stranglehold on boxing for all these years, and he cheated his fighters, treated them like trash. One legend that he treated like trash, Bernard Hopkins. Made Bernard Hopkins, waited out. Bernard Hopkins was a champion in the middleweight division for 10 years before he got paid that, which is egregious. And when he finally gets competition, he knocks Tito Trinidad out, beat the dog out of him, and then finally knocks him out. No one remembers that. But Bob Arum, I don't like that guy because he said he has a tender, diabolical racism is what I'm going to call it. You know, guys can call in to 516-453-9133, press #1 to enter the conversation. Again, 516-453-9133, press #1. I'd love to hear from you guys. Yeah, get back to Bob Arum. So, Bud Crawford can't hold a pay-per-view event by himself. Not up to... Not because Bud Crawford's not drawing boxing. It's his promotion, which is Bob Arum. As you can see, Tank gets in the ring, and he can hold the pay-per-view for two reasons. One, Tank's a knockout artist. People want to see knockouts, especially in boxing. And the other reason why is because it's who you associate with. Associated with Floyd, associated with Al Heyman, who don't need Bob Arum to survive in boxing. People say boxing is fading. Nah, it's not. It's actually about to heat back up due to the COVID not being a prevalent situation because in that sport alone, I do think that was a major effect because you don't get the – it's a whole ambiance, the glitz and glam. Remember, Frank Lucas got caught from the FBI because where was he at? A boxing match. It was off the radar. Lights, camera, glitches, glamours, Hollywood. And this guy, Javante, is bringing Hollywood to, which is the black Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's like the black Hollywood. So, you know, we will see tonight. Like I said, I got Tank in four. You know, that's about it. That's all I really want to see out of boxing at this particular junction. I would like to see some other fights. I would like to see Spence Crawford, but I don't think that'll happen. If when it does happen, I don't know. I think Bud's getting long. Now, I say he's long in the tooth, but he has a lot of
fights under the belt, and Spence's right now in his prime, I would say. So I don't know if they'll fight or when they'll fight, but we'll see. So we will address the elephant in the room. I do. Our beloved Sixers got kicked out of the playoffs because of one reason alone. Oh, no, two. No, two reasons. Bad coaching in Ben Simmons is a recipe for disaster. Doc Rivers, before I get to Ben, I'm going to get to Doc. Doc Rivers was totally outclassed and outcoached, which is beyond egregious. You've been around the bend long enough to know certain things, Doc. When they all, there's no excuse for losing a 26-point lead. No excuse. You call four timeouts to get some type of flow, and you get bent out the game. If he's not producing, see, this is the thing what Doc doesn't realize. Oh, yeah, there's potential. He could do this and that. No, no. What he failed to realize is Ben Simmons is a coward. And his cowardism rubs off. The stink on Ben translates to the whole team. He don't see it. I don't see how Doc doesn't see it. But he doesn't see it. Ben Simmons is very, very, very overrated. Not because he doesn't have his talent, because one thing you can have is talent and no heart. He has no heart. From the basket in game 7, and decided to pass the ball off instead of go up and dunk it. Ben doesn't want to. Ben Simmons is just him. Just who he is. And we got to get him out of here because we don't need. You can't be a superstar in this town and be scared. Bottom line. You cannot. I'm going to repeat that. Cannot be a Philadelphia quote unquote superstar on a team when this is a blue-collar city, and be a punk, which he is. Whatever in the bin, it's been happening in the bin, and he don't care because he got the money. So Ben could be a bum for the rest of his days. He got a max contract, and he's happy with that. And that only. I mean, you know, if I'm in Ben's shoes, I'm looking at from his perspective, yeah, I'm set for life. I got that. But if you want to play basketball and be at the high level that you're getting accredited for, you got the Purdue's out there. There's no reason why you are average. You are 6'10", one of the best ball handlers in the league. You had 6 points in the basketball game. Six stinking lousy points in a game 7 elimination game. And they're calling you, you are one of the 24 players that played an all-star game. So.
See, I was trying to be quiet. But see, you start your mess. First of all, why was Ben Simmons at the all-star game in the first place? I don't understand it. Because he goes out with the Jenna girl? Is that it?
Well, no.
I'm going to leave it alone.
At that time, Ben was averaging about 17 points a game. I mean, you got to look at the point guards that was actually, you know, on that All-Star roster. I mean, you know, Paul Harden came over, too. He won't be on that All-Star team next year. And the thing that's going to be the even more sick thing to our stomach is the Sixers are not going to trade Ben Simmons. We stuck with
him. No, right. Thank you, man. I'm glad somebody else understands what I've been saying. Coach, I love you, man. Nothing you can do about it. I'm telling you, they're stuck with Ben. No one's going to take that contract, bro. Not in the right mind. Unless the Sixers give up. Well, unless the Sixers give up the whole, you know, the whole house and the garage, too. Now back to Coach. Listen to Coach, y'all. Just listen.
So nobody's going to give up that for Ben, especially because, see, he was on display. And this is the reason why the Sixers is a dumb organization, because they didn't have to give him the money. You already paid Embiid. Okay, pay him. I would have paid Embiid. Okay. If this punk wants to walk or whatever, bye, dance out the door, chump. You can dance right away from us. We don't care. You're taking up a roster spot for somebody to play that really want to play. Embiid needs another superstar, and he's not it. You seen Curry. Curry's out. It was a wasted effort by Steph Curry. Just wasted. That's what makes me sick. Because Steph realized the moment. When you in the NBA, the moment gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what did Ben Simmons do? He got smaller and smaller and smaller. Steph Curry is not supposed to be starting in this league for one. But he's out there teeing up 30 points, long minutes, playing six, seven guards. But he's doing everything he can do to try to win. What does Ben Simmons do? Hot potato. I don't want that pass staying over there on the side. We need points, and you out here running around chasing Trae Young around. Oh, I'm play D. Listen, it don't matter if you're not producing the offense and then. And that's what people have to give up. In this league right now, when nobody's playing no D, his defense is overrated compared to his ineptitude offense. It's disgusting for a 6'10 wonder dude that can do whatever, when he wants. Everybody, he was a world display. And if you...
Listen, you know what? When on offense, you're 4 against 5. How embarrassing is that, Coach? How embarrassing
four
is that?
4 or 5 every time.
You know, Ben Simmons
plays
like a 4 trying to get the rebound. He does play like that. But he's Ben Simmons with all this talent. He's going to be, you know, he's part of that process. Well, the process has failed. You drafted a center that does give heart, that has heart and soul, but this center is just as hurt as he was when he came out of Kansas. Let's just be honest now. I know a lot of people are going to get mad at me, and I really don't care. Y'all going to be all right. Okay, just listen to what I'm saying to you. He's the same player that he was at Kansas. You know, a player that great opportunity. But damn, we always get hurt, don't we? Like, the Sixers, he fell to number 3 to the Sixers. He was supposed to be the number one overall pick. He fell to 3 because he was hurt. Sixers took a chance.
Because he was hurt.
Right, is he all world? No, he's all world. He was all world. He's all world now. But he proved right then and there, man. He did that hot stick of the jump, and it changed the series. The Sixers are going to wipe the floor with these guys, man. I'm telling you. Trust me when I tell you. Like, you know, like I said, you know, I was teasing on my DC offset. Believe when I say it. This team was done, bud. The Atlanta Hawks was done, bud. All of a sudden now, here comes Embiid, and he hurt himself. Oh, he hurt himself. And then now it's like, and I saw it, and I said, uh-oh. I talk about that a little bit, Coach, as I check my electronic technicians.
Okay, so problem is the process failed. That tanking crap and Colin players don't work. If you can see, obviously. We went and drafted players that don't belong, that were not to be drafted. We drafted players that, granted, to Embiid. All right. Follow up with Ben. And Ben, he looked good on paper, looked good. You know, he didn't even look, to me, LSU didn't even look like a superstar to me. He looked like, I've seen this act from a 6'10 guy before. I've seen Michael Carter Williams act. I've seen Evan Turner. A little bit better, a little taller, a little bit more faster, better ball handler. I've seen that act before. Can he shoot? No, 3 years on Embiid because he was hurt in between those 3 years. So when he finally gets on the court, he's out of shape, eating fat burgers, and every town he go in, he's eating the greasy food. So his body wasn't right. It's just amazing how it happens. His body finally gets right, has a good season for the most part, but he's hurt 20-something games. Come back, hurt again. Torn meniscus. Now, give him all the credit in the world playing great with the torn meniscus, but at some point in time, it's gone. You can't be. You're not the same player with a tear in your knee. You don't have the mobility. It's swelling up on you on nights. Certain nights you might feel fine, but then when it gets to the fourth quarter, your knee hurts. You can't. The The one game when we could have won, when Ben showed that he's a punk again, was the game before the 26th debacle, when we was up like 19 or something like that, at the end of the game, and B tried to go for a dunk. He couldn't even get to the rim. And who's behind him? For easy tipping. But he's such a punk. He misses. Benjamin Simmons. And then give Atlanta some life. Well, if they gonna keep losing, if they gonna keep letting us come back, we're gonna keep coming back. Doc, how do you not see what's going on? The right was on the wrong wall with Ben. This whole what you should have did was said, listen, Ben, I don't care about you. You're gonna have attitude. Because guess what? You ain't producing. This young boy Maxie on the bench got heart and effort. And we need those 15, 16 points to win. So you can sit over there and pout. Trae Young was off. He had his worst game seven. They still won. How was that? How was that? Their superstar had their worst game in the series, and they still won. Because we were still playing 4-on-5 for 7 games. To not win in the NBA playing 4-on-5.
It's funny you said that, man. Like, you know, Maxie being there. Okay? Maxie has a great opportunity to come in and, you know, and just fire start this team. And I'm like, what's the real McCoy here? What is really going on? And, you know, a lot of people start to question, you know, Doc as a coach, man. This stuff is really just saying, is he a good coach?
Is he really?
Did you just say he's not? Did you just say he's not? Oh, man, you rough. I think he's not a great coach. He's a good coach.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a good coach.
I'm going to give him above average coach. Okay? You won one ring, but you're in the big three in Boston.
Yeah, he was just learning the ropes, too. He was a brand-new coach at that time. Okay. He was a brand-new coach, brother.
But
yeah.
You had a big three. You had a big three, and not a young big three. You had a big three, a veteran big three.
Yeah, they were nice, man.
A veteran
big three. They were nice. Yeah, they were nice.
So, therefore, you should win with a veteran big. It's not hard to coach a guard that knows his role. It's not hard to coach a superstar that still was in his prime and Paul Pierce. And it ain't hard to coach Ray Allen.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question real quick. That would have been the talk of the Daily News, Philly Live, all of that. If he would have been Ben Simmons and able to win, that was the right move, to bench Ben to win. I would have worn that T-shirt. Bench Ben to win. I was ready to that. But, you know,
right.
Case of Sarah.
He wouldn't
back to
do
coach.
It. Can't. So, listen, the powers that be would not allow him to do it. And I know he contemplated doing it. And they probably told him, listen, that Maxie show can't happen. Okay? We didn't draft Maxie to take Ben's spot. Okay? So, if you think you're going to play this game, I'll get you out of here before we get Ben out of here. Ben is our commodity. Which is stupid in hindsight, because the Sixers are an organization that cut off their nose to spike their face every time. So let's be looking at it. How do you? I don't even care. Well, what was the point? You didn't need Markel Fultz. Fultz is a ball handler. When you seen him play in college, he was ball dominant. Well, you have a dude that is ball dominant already at 6'10". Like, what do we need him for? But you didn't even take a look at Jason Tatum, a bona fide superstar. You didn't even look at it. Didn't try to do nothing. Boston hoodwinks you like, oh, we gonna draft folks. Oh, we better draft folks. Boston going to get them. You dummy. They play chess with you while you out here playing checkers. Dummies. So it's a lot of factors that go into the reason why the Sixers keep letting us down. Food chain, the high ups don't know what the hell they're doing.
Oh, you trying to come out? You trying to come at Joshua Harris and all the rest of the crumb bums? Listen, you talked about Jason Tatum. We know that man, I didn't understand the Markel thing. I thought we had the third pick in the draft. Boston was going to take, let's see here. Boston was going to take Jason Tatum, right? But they didn't want to pay Jason Tatum that number one money. And Boston's going to take him anyway. So the Sixers are going to end up with Markelle Fultz anyway, Coach.
I agree.
Yeah, Boston knew who they wanted. Boston knew who fit their team the best. They ain't stupid, man. They ain't stupid, Miami, like they say, Miami. All I know is that in this situation, the only thing is short of a miracle. Now, have I been talking about a miracle? Yes. Can Ben Simmons come back and give us come back mysteriously and find his jump shot, man, and become that dominant player? I'm not too willing to give up on them. Not yet.
I'm giving up.
Not
I'm
yet.
I'm giving up. Let me tell you why.
What can you do with him? Let's take our first caller. What can you do with him? You're stuck on a $180 million contract, Coach. I'm waiting. All right, let's take our call. Caller, why are you aligned with the Huddle Sports Nation? You know, the coach and Olasky.
Hi, it's Offset Atun Ray.
Hey, Offset, what's up?
I don't really know much about sports, but I do have a nice fun fact here in New York that I would like to share. So I don't know what game this was, but this was recent, and this was it was a big game. I think the Knicks was playing. And a lot of people purchased their tickets at the Barclays Center, and that's where they was having the game, right? But they didn't.
That'd be Brooklyn.
So they didn't tell anybody that you had to be vaccinated to come in the Barclays Center.
Oh, shoot.
Everyone that paid for, like, high-priced tickets, they couldn't even come in. And that was one of the biggest games that we had. And it was sad because a lot of people couldn't come in. And one thing I noticed about sports, it's not how it used to be. I noticed that a lot of our brothers are getting injured more than they were back then. And one thing I want to say, I'm not trying to downplay anybody, but I never did like LeBron James as a basketball player because I don't feel
then
like
right now you just made a friend. I'm getting off this
you
call.
Got,
bye,
you're
y'all.
My homie right now. Speak your piece. All right, go ahead.
Wait, let me just say this. When Steph Curry came out with the Golden State Warriors, I felt like LeBron James didn't give him enough credit as a good professional player. And LeBron, he always has been an amazing player. I take nothing from him. But it's time for him to retire, and I feel like it's time for other young athletes to step up and to show, you know, other people what they got. So the hard thing when it comes to the sport industry is our brothers, they're competing in the wrong way. And it's like it's showing this image that, you know, you have to be the best of the best to get recognized. And a lot of these players, they're injuring their bodies just to get this recognition, but they're not even realizing once that they're washed up in the sport industry doesn't want them anymore. They're looked at as nobodies, and then the money runs out, and they're going back to regular lives with regular jobs. So I just wanted to, you know, share what I do know. But I love basketball and football, but I don't know too much. But I love what y'all are doing, and I like it.
Well, you know, one thing that I like to share with Offset too. You know, the athlete is not the dumb jock that they used to be. There's two things I want to address. One, back in the day, man, these guys had heart. Talk about that, Coach, for a second before I go into my second part.
Yeah, back in the day was a whole different way. And I ain't going to lie. That was you not to act talking about you don't know nothing about sports. I can't tell. Because you was on point with everything you said.
All right, you went out with LeBron. I ain't going there with your LeBron stuff, man. Y'all a bunch of haters. I don't want to hear
I'm not going to hate. He called it like it is. He is doing a stinky leg winner, and it's a sour puss loser.
Well, you know
Sorry,
what? Now that I agree with.
Real quick, what team is he with? Because I'm not sure. I don't know.
He's with the Los Angeles Lakers. into the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
Well, one thing I want to address, Arset, you made a good point. The athlete now goes through something called a rookie symposium, right? Something that the old heads didn't even have. So there should be no excuse for any young person out there broke. Okay? That's if you want to live that life. Mm-hmm. But the majority of a lot of the athletes, Arset, they do make, well, I'll say it like this, to be honest, 45% of the athletes make good investments with their lives and their livelihoods. But the sad thing, like Arset just said, what happens when this thing is over and you have nothing to show for it? That's a problem, guys. That's a problem. Period. You know, we need to be better. And like I said, one thing, it's funny. We talk about sports and we talk about the situations with the world of sports. And I always told my son, you can go outside because my son's 6'10". We play basketball and all that. But I said, this is what I told, and Coach, this is what I told my son. You can go outside from 10 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night until we ask you to come in the house on the weekends and play ball. At night, do your homework, go out and play ball. It's only 1% that's going to make it. So what are you going to do to put something in its place? My son makes beats for this network. Everybody knows that. He makes all the song beats, right? And also, not only just for me, but he makes beats for himself. He has on that RC, right? But the most important thing, my son is a culinary artist. Studying to be a chef, that happens to play basketball, Arset, that's the third thing. And so us as parents have to teach our kids well to be their own entrepreneurs. How can I own a network and I teach my son how to own something? That's ludicrous. And to the second, you know, the first question, which is the second thing I'm going to deal with, back in the day, man, they used to really abuse the athletes back in the day, Arset, especially in football, because, hey, coach, get my back. They would give you smelling salts. As long as you responded, you ain't get back out there. That's horrible. That is some horrible stuff right there. You tell me, like, you gonna need to get my back out there. Coach, I'm loopy. I'll be paying good money for you back out there. And that's what happens to a lot of guys that now have CTE.
Correct.
You know, like Tony Dorsett, you know, and I look at him, he's really fighting. He's doing well. He's taking real good medicine. But in fact, he had money, right? Arset, if he didn't have money and didn't invest into his own business after football, he'd been dead by now.
Yes, he would.
So what Arset is saying is outstanding. Like, guys, listen to the young lady who don't know anything about sports, but she sure knows about journalism, because she sounds like a journalist, right, Coach? Make sure.
Yeah.
Actually, she not just sounds like a journalist. She is one because she works at O&E. Make sure that you invest into your life. Please, guys. The life you save might be your own, you know. And I'm going to keep all set on this program because we got another person that loves to talk to you, Coach. And she goes by the name of, and she did a great job last night, too. Sister Bessie Truther.
Hey, peace and blessings, brother. And hey, Arset, hi.
How you doing?
All right. How you doing, my Coach, listen, you know, where is the female?
I didn't get to it yet. I got somebody for us.
Oh, you got some? All right. That's what I'm talking about.
I got somebody for us.
You know, I'm waiting.
We got somebody who.
All right.
We got somebody who's better than FloJo running around out here. I want to call it, what do you call it? What's the color? Pastel hair?
Yes. I watched that sister. That sister is something else.
Okay. She's a superstar.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I don't have her name off top. It's something, Sharita. Is it Sharita? Something.
It's Sha'Carria. Sha'Carria Johnson.
Sha'Carria.
Okay.
Love that name.
The name,
yes.
The name tells you where she comes from. Gallup.
Yeah.
Nonetheless. Sha'Carria thinks she's on any type of
steroids or anything. Yeah.
She's fast. When I mean fast, and she's so fast, she don't even start fast, she's the best, but she is fast.
Yes.
She got her end game is ridiculous. I've seen people get the jump on her. Like, she's about to lose. The only thing you know, the next 42 kilometers, she ran. This is how amazing she is. She ran a 10.64. And in 20 to 30 meters before she finished, she's pointing up at the Jumbotron. Now, had she not been celebrating, she probably ran something more, even more ridiculous. She probably ran a 10.5.
Yes, yes. Oh, I compare her to my sister, the boxer.
No, I was going to get to her because I knew you was clamoring, but I like her, though.
Yes.
She's very short. Yes. They counted her out in life because of her height. And she said, yeah, okay, I got something for you. I'm going to run y'all off this track. She's going to the Olympics, and she's going to win.
I know that's right. I see it coming myself.
And she's going to be a superstar. She got to look at, they're pushing the narrative with her.
Well, you know what's crazy? A lot of times, they're always going to put our sisters like they're on that stuff, man. Now, they found out this girl's so bad, she ain't on no stuff, and they mad they can't find something on the sister. They real mad. Mm-hmm. Okay? Stay mad. Stay mad. Mm-hmm.
They don't got – well, her, they got to roll over. This is a situation. She'll roll – you got to roll over, she's going to roll right over. She has no fear. I love her because she ain't got no fear of what she say, and she love her mother. Who passed away.
That's
I'm
right.
Sorry to hear that. But she is I like her spirit. She's like, I don't care. I look like this because I want to look like this. But I can run next. And I'm going to beat you. And I'm going to beat you. And I'm going to beat you. And I'm going to win another race. And I'm going to win another race. So get the endorsements right because I ain't going nowhere.
That's right. I love it.
And they're coming. Oh, and they're coming. So I love her.
Yes, I do too. And I think she's the fastest sister I've seen in a long time.
Long time?
Yes. Long time.
Not since Flojo. I'm going to tell y'all something right now. And something's been burning on my
heart. No, I had that in my mind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got to share this. You got another sister, okay? And even though she might have a Japanese mother, but her father black, okay? And the name of Naomi Osaka.
Is she in the tennis?
She's in the tennis. That sister's strong. And not only that, though, mm-hmm. she made it so where now, in the Olympic Games, guys, they said they will not interview her. Now. She has the right for not to be interviewed. So you know what? Naomi, congratulations. I'm proud of you. You stood your ground. You know what I mean? Coach, what you got to say about that? Man, the young lady stood her ground, man. I'm proud of her. Straight up.
I'm proud of her, too. Yes.
I'm proud of her, too. She stood her ground. She stood her ground. Nothing we can do about that. If you're going to stand up, stand up. And I respect it.
Yeah, they always trying to get in your face and make you try to say something so they can talk about it. I don't blame her.
I don't blame her neither, you know.
Yeah.
But she stood her ground on what her principles and beliefs was and, you know, deal with it.
And that's a great example for us as people.
Exactly.
Stand your ground in
well,
what
you
believe.
Know, mm-hmm. A lot of people scared to do that, though.
Yes.
Because, you know, when they start threatening to take that money away, some people can't live without money.
Yes.
Or they can't live. It's not. Sometimes not even the money, it's the fame, which is worse than the money.
Yes. Let me tell y'all. I wanted to tell y'all, here in Philadelphia, you know, they started dangling money for people to take the vaccine. The COVID vaccine. I was like, what?
And they're giving out
dangling money for the people to take the vaccine. That's some deep stuff right there.
It's deep.
And then our president said, he said it in a demanding way. Go ahead. Just take it.
Yep.
I said, no,
well,
he didn't say that.
Sister Betty brought a good point. Sister Betty, there was a man in Philadelphia today that won $100,000 for that.
Yeah.
And the COVID, and the COVID sweepstakes. He said, you know what? I had to take the vaccine anyway, so I'm glad I won this money. And but he didn't know. I mean, it was a sweep. It was a lottery. So no one knew who was going to win. Now, there was two people. There was three people that won the $10,000. The other two people, they just had random names in the city, which means Sister Jessie, who did not take the vaccine, and their name came up, she didn't get $100,000 because she didn't take the vaccine.
That's right.
However, Sarah Johnson, who took the vaccine, would have got the $100,000. Now, two people, let's say the city saved $200,000, so two people didn't take it. Now, I'm like, you just take it, so you can't win.
If you think about it, this is how they have always done us. It's like they provide you with selling your soul. And you don't sell your soul for any amount of money. But that's what
you
it has come
to. You do it if it's right for you, you do it. If it's not right for you, you don't do it. That's simple as that.
So wait a minute. So you make the choice to take the vaccine, but in order for you to take it, you got to enter into a lottery and they
no one entered it. It was something that was no one entered into this lottery. It was a random lottery. Like I just told you, the people that did take the vaccine didn't win. So it was a random name. Like it could be Sarah Johnson, who didn't know about nothing. No one entered into this right. No. It was a random Philadelphia situation. So the guy took the vaccine. He was a healthcare worker. He took the vaccine. I'm making no excuse for him because it is what it is. You take it, you don't. Well, I'm not going to allow anybody shaming people for they took it. But what I'm saying is that they shaming folks who didn't take it. They don't allow that either.
Right.
But the gentleman worked, he found out, Dave thinks, oh, man, I didn't even know. Man, I didn't know he won. But right, congratulations, brother.
What you think about that, Derek and Iset?
Well, I think that personally, this whole situation has been, it starts with sports. And I keep telling people that when they went down to Disney World with that bubble, they was already playing with that vaccine. We just didn't know about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? They've been playing around with it for a minute. And now, it's to the point now that you got, see what happened was, like any other thing else, Sister Bessie, what happens in America that we are so stupid? When you win the black people over, you got everybody else. Remember, how many people did you know, did I know, that when they first announced that there was going to be some vaccination goofy stuff, I ain't taking that. The next thing you know, 3 months later, I got my vaccination pledge.
Yes.
Well, you goofy.
And they didn't stand there. Just like that sister was racing. I mean, the sister that was doing the tennis, what Brother O just spoke about, she stood her ground. So many of us out here that said that we would not do it, we did not stand their ground. And see, they're making provisions where you can't even go to work. Like Asset said, all of them people spent that money to go to that game. You are going to be forced to do that. So therefore, the ones that have not taken the vaccine, they're going to be against the ones that haven't. The same thing they did with the children in school.
Correct.
To make the children look like, you know, you can't take care of yourself in a godly manner. Your body is your body. You no longer have your own body now because they're telling you, you got to do this.
What's your opinion on that, honey? If she's still here. Awesome, I've been at work, guys.
Hi, I'm sorry.
That's it. Okay, good. All right, I'll say it. Here we go.
Sweetie, what do you think about them having to force us to do that and then put negativity on those that have not taken?
What, the vaccine?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, I've already made up my mind that I'm not going to take it regardless. And, you know, here in NYC, some jobs, they're telling people that if you don't take it, they're going to lay you off. Some stores,
yeah,
they won't let you come into their store, like grocery stores and stuff. Some of them won't let you come in unless you have the vaccination card.
It got to be crazy up New York. It got to be crazy
so,
up New York with this goofy stuff.
So
yeah.
I see the agenda that they're trying to push, and I'm not even going for it.
Yes, because I warned people what they was going to do. And this is the thing that they're going to divide us. This is the dividing mechanism for us.
Yeah, this is part of the New World Order.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
Phase number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been telling people for years, this is the time now that we're either going to come together or we're going to be messed up as a whole.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I keep telling people we have to establish land. If we don't get any land for ourselves to live off of, we're going to be really messed up here.
You got that right. Exactly. Because they done sold America already.
Well, America was never, it never belonged, it don't even belong to the Europeans here, you know. They're still under the Treaty of
British
England.
Rule. They still run stuff. So all the hoax about the American won the Civil War, you can believe, I mean, the Revolutionary War is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, they own New York City, and that's all you see them walking around just demanding this and demanding that. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And you just said the key things, sweetheart, land and unity.
So I just want to say I'm standing my ground regardless. I don't care what they bring at me. I don't care how much money they dangle. I don't care how much lies they tell. I'm standing my ground. Period.
That's right. That's right, Sister Betsy. We have to.
And they know it's a percentage. And they know that they, see, this is what they're scared of. But this is when it gets goofy because as they lie about the numbers, they lie about the numbers of who was actually vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very large percentage, and it still happen to be us, that's like, beat your feet with that garbage.
Mm-hmm. And what about the young people that are getting it and having heart problems?
Heart problems.
What the heck is that? Yes, that came from the other vaccine, but they have the young people having heart problems, close to heart attacks.
Wow.
Huh?
Wow.
You can go on YouTube and see it.
No, I believe
they got young people having heart attacks.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you an example. Bill Gates' wicked wife divorced him. There's something behind it. She probably, I can't stand for the wickedness no more. Like, you are the evilest man that ever has lived on this planet.
Yeah.
I can't stand for it. I got to get away from you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. Yes. Well, I thank y'all, brothers and sisters, because I just wanted to talk about that and get the opinion of our host out there, because, you know, every time they lie to us, we fall for it. Hoodwink and sinker.
It's funny that Coach brought up the Revolutionary War and Arsette brought up land, because, you know, a lot of times Nation Islam, you know, one of the first groups in the country that really talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a real fuck that I want to be able to expound upon. Do not support Black Lives Matter. Now, anybody, the sound of my voice, hear what I say. Believe what I say, it's not us. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do not support
it's
it.
Not.
It's not our cause. Now, let me explain something else that I need you guys to do. I need you guys to really be be right there on the target, all right? Understand this. Stop marching for stuff that has nothing to do with your neighborhood. Why aren't people marching, and I mean this, marching for, you know, people dying in these streets?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand.
I would like to chime in, brother. If
please.
Okay.
There is fear.
We, you know, Mr. Ray would like to chime in. Can he join the conversation with us? I got him here.
You sure can?
Yes.
Peace.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice and clear, brother.
I wanted to add on to what y'all was talking about as far as, you know, establishing land. The only reason why I don't see that working in this current now is because the mind state of the people. In order for us to come together as one and to establish land that we can call our own, we would have to go back during the days of Nimrod when the peoples only spoke one language, one tone. You know, same thing basically what Elijah Muhammad was trying to do, clean up the black man. You know, give him something that he can come amongst his own rather than us being scattered out here in the wilderness of North America trying to come together as one bodily. We have to come together as far as mind and heart. Then the body will follow. So I think that's my only add-on to that subjective thought.
Well, we got the problem with gentrification. We got other individuals coming in our community and buying the homes and buying the land right out from under us.
You know what? And, you know, it's quite funny. While a project is a project, the project is a project. Not only was it a project, but it was also it was a criminal enterprise to bring a whole bunch of slaves on the cargo. That was big business. So to put us in projects and for us creative beings to make the project for what it is today, we have it's mainstream hip hop, rap, soul, R&B, pop, our traditional fashion. Everything became a trend. So now, as years pass by, the people who basically looked from the skybox, looked at the project from the skybox, now wants to take a part of the project. Now you see them flooding all the projects up now. They want to be a part of it now. They want to be a part of the culture now, but they're not telling you they want to be a part of the culture. They're showing you they want to be a part of it. You know, like I was just over there on Marcy Avenue. Marcy Avenue is dangerous. But guess who's coming out of those buildings now? A whole bunch of white people. And they happy.
Yeah, they happy.
Because this whole pandemic made them kind of had a check self-realization. Like, hold up, they just shut our business down? I thought this would never happen. Hold up, they shut our establishment down? I thought this would never happen. You know, a lot of them had to hustle just like black people on the streets, just to make it. And you know what? I have communicated with a lot, and they have to stay comfortable with this state now that they see that black lives really matter.
You know, I saw that good example of the two sisters that bought like 90-something acres of land.
Correct.
You know, we don't even trust each other to trust anybody with the money.
Correct. Correct.
That's why we can't
correct.
Get our left eyes. You said it, Mr.
She just
Mr.
said it right there. That's why we can't.
But this, this is systematic, though. This is systematic. It's systematic. I mean, excuse me if I'm cutting anybody off.
Right.
We all know the root of the problem. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we got to start. It's like, we got to start. I don't know how to do it, but, I mean, you know, we got to start having more creative solutions. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because It's no way we get. It's no way we. All right. They had a 400-year head start. Let's say 500-year head start. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff, variables that they. I mean, you know, they got roadblocks. They got everything for us. They got bombs in the street. They we can't even race. We run a race with them. It's not. We can't win that race because we keep. You know what the problem is? We have to reprogram ourselves to stop trying to live a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm glad you said. Now I'm gonna come on. I got to come on here. First of all,
yeah.
We give up all of our businesses during the time of so-called integration. Now, Dr. King, one of the greatest. And I'm, you know, I love that. Everybody know I love Dr. King, but I'm gonna tell the truth. While the truth is still outstanding. Integration destroyed a lot of our black businesses. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We used to rely on each other. Okay, and we were cool with that. And I love that the brother came on the show, right? Let me go to the brother. The Negro National League was making more money than the major leagues. I'm going to say this again and find out to be true. The Negro National League was making more money than the American Major League Baseball. You know
yeah.
why? Because,
yeah.
you know, we didn't care about your raggedy, you know, major league. We were better than y'all anyway. So we patronized our league. Branch
mm-hmm.
Rickey said, you know what? I see these dollars here. We got to get these Negroes to the park. We got to get, you know, this is a major league money we're throwing away. What do you mean? You looking at this? You want the niggers to come? Yeah, I want the niggers to come. Because we can go in the
mm-hmm.
place. And that's how they thought. Okay? So
yeah.
here comes Jackie Robinson, who was only, and Jackie was a pretty good ball player in the Negro League. Remember, I said pretty good ball player in the Negro League. It goes
mm-hmm.
to what I just said, guys. Didn't I say that the American Major League was garbage? Jackie Robinson, who was the 45th out of 51st player in the Negro Leagues, ranked, was Rookie of the Year of that all-white American National League, or excuse
mm-hmm.
me, the National League of Major League Baseball. So that was the microcosm of sports right there, brother. Brother coach,
mm-hmm.
there's your microcosm. You know what I'm saying? It changed the way so-called Americans look, the microcosm, it changed the way Americans looked at black folk, right? Ah,
mm-hmm.
you get the psychosis in there, makes them feel they're equal, even though you still couldn't go down south. And then, do me a favor. All black families always ask, who made the potato salad? So we don't want to go in your nasty restaurants in the first place. Okay? The government said we could. But the only thing that I would say is good about the situation with integration, desegregation, is at least when I'm driving down south, I ain't got to stay and with people on the road or pee outside. At least I can go in a hotel. That's the best thing. I'll get that. But other than that, no. We lost a lot of businesses, and we lost,
mm-hmm.
we lost our way. And so when Arsette said yeah. about owning land, it's real estate, guys. Real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Got to own the land. And got to own it tax-free, too. Because they're trying to put it on the number now. If you don't own your land tax-free, then you don't own it because you're still paying taxes on it. That's the coach.
That's,
mm-hmm.
that's the oldest trick in the book.
Yeah.
We keep falling for the okey-doke. See, it's like, again, we keep saying, man, it's starting at home. Mm-hmm. These monsters coming in your house at 16 years old with an AR-15 hitting under their bed, you hiding and protecting them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
And they
not
bring it. They bring. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, they bring in the guns in the community. I was explaining to people on my Instagram site about how we are purging ourselves. We are purging. We got somebody else purging us, and we're purging ourselves.
That's true.
Right. And I would like
we're
to
purging.
Sister-
and they got another movie coming out. They got another movie coming out about purging. We purging ourselves. We helping them destroy us. Okay.
What was you about to say, Arsette?
I was going to say, I was going to add on to that. That's one reason why I do not trust for us to police our own community. Because the time you put a gun in a nigga hand, not a black man hand. The time you put a gun in the hand, that's when he want to start acting a fool and shooting his own people. So that's another problem on top of not obtaining land. We can't even police our own community because of the fools out here that want to just shoot everybody for no reason.
Yeah. So,
well,
you know,
what a night.
I don't know the solutions, but I know it got to start with us healing and stop worrying about them. The way we keep worrying about them is the reason why we keep, like, worry about them. Now, you got, you know, these people out here that got this pandemic money, worrying about them, went and gave it to Gucci, went and gave it to Louis, went and gave it to Balenciaga. Ain't built, you got four friends ready to shoot at each other with some stolen pandemic money and say, hey, if we going to steal, we might as well steal together and build a business so we can get more money.
Look what happened in Indianapolis with the brother. He killed his whole family, guys. His whole family and get money.
Over PUA.
Shot four people. And the only thing he didn't mess with was the kid, the little girl. He shot everybody else.
Wow.
PPP. No. PPP. No, you don't know me.
And you know, another good thing that, another good subject, this was pertaining to sports. The steroids that these athletes are taking that to help them compete in football and basketball and stuff like that. I never thought that steroids and pills and drugs was a major problem when it came to our brothers playing in these games. That's another thing that's harming our black men. They on all these steroids when they playing, and that's causing their trajectory to get thrown off in the game, and that's what's causing a lot of them to get it too.
It makes their bones weak and their immune system weak. That's why a lot of the players are not as strong as they were before, and they're hurting themselves in the game.
Well, I'm gonna say
so
something.
Hold on,
Coach. I got something to say about that, man. First of all, I believe that Walter Payton died of steroid abuse. Even my dog thinks that. That's right. You go, hoo-hoo. Because that liver cancer, man, was right on.
You believe Walter Payton died of steroids?
And it ruined his liver. There's a lot of things that were real quiet about that man in Chicago, man. Walter Payton never drank. Watch this with Offset and Bessie, because they're sort of to back me up on this. Walter Payton never drank a smoke. Church-going man. Live by the earth. Vegan.
Who was he?
Well, Walter Payton was one of the great NFL running backs of all time. Football. But Walter was always in tip-top shape. And Walter absorbed a lot of punishment. You talking about somebody who's 46 years old and got jaundice in his eyes? How?
Wow.
When you eat right? When you eat right? Your liver don't go bad. Ask the Sebastian. There's no way a 46-year liver goes bad if you eat right. They don't abuse your body. I got a cousin by the name of Junebug, man, that smoked crack, drink liquor, and got a girl that's bigger and quicker. And he's still alive at age 60. Don't tell me that. So I think Walter was dibbling and dabbling. If not dabbling a lot. I mean, I think he was about for boy of the 80s. Maybe. I mean, it's just opinion, guys. No one's trying to desperate Walter Payton here. I understand that there's some things that this didn't look like. This is talk radio. So this is an opinion, guys, okay? No one's talking, shit about Walter Payton. Just like Bessie got the right to talk about vaccines, I got the right to talk about Walter Payton.
I'm taking heed to what you're saying. You could be very well right.
And wait a minute. Another thing I just wanted to point out. You know, we have a lot of people walking around, you know, with their masks. They got to go in the stores with their masks. They got to do this with their masks. And another thing, the mask itself, you're breathing in your own carbon.
Correct.
And that's making your immune system weak.
Correct.
So that's another factor with sports. You know, they may take the mask off at sports, but then they're having to walk around with these masks, in which another thing could affect their systems too.
Yeah.
Good point, Bessie. Good point. I mean,
yeah.
When you're going around a whole lot of people, guys, I hear Bessie saying, please put your mask on with 18 people around you. But if you got one or two people around, I mean, you know, in your area, please don't wear your mask around that. Because, I mean, it's common sense wearing your mask, guys. But, however, you're not saying government now. You don't have to wear your mask, CDC says, because right now you're a bunch of petri dishes, and they want to see if the vaccine works. Now back to the regular schedule programming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's already been a given that that was this whole thing is, I mean, you know, even the Mr. Goofy said it himself. I'm running for president because the American people are the dumbest people in the world. And if I do run, I'm going to run Republican because they believe everything in the news. Duh. Duh. He said it on his own mop in 1988, sitting on Oprah Winfrey's chair. So you think that this people, I don't understand why we are so stupid, and we got the power. Like, I don't know if y'all ever seen this, it's 5 hours long, Sister Bessie. Have you ever seen The Ring of Power?
Yes, it's, I believe so. You talking about the glowing ring?
No, The Ring of Power is a 5-hour documentary. And it's presented to you from a white person's perspective who's actually narrating this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
It touches everything.
And it keeps
See, the people on this show right now, including the brother that just came on, we know ourselves better than you do. But the rest of you clowns, they know you better than you do. Hidden colors and all that stuff is important. Those documentaries are important.
I'll send you the link. Because you got to watch this yourself. Because it's very entertaining from perspective. And it's more crucial to see this. And this knowledge that they're giving out. It's free knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically telling you stuff.
Who is it by, Brother Derek?
I can't particularly tell you.
Don't worry about that, Derek. I'll make sure that you get Bessie's number and that you can handle that. Make sure you get that information. Give her that information. But I'm going to say something else as well. And something that hasn't really been brought up, and it's been goofy. Okay. Now, of course, you know, Derek, that's the easier player in the NBA. Derek Gibson said very, very, very eloquently, but sometimes he's egregious. Talk about Donald Trump. I ask you a question. How many people has, in more than 100 days, has Joe Biden exonerated from prison? I'll wait. Yep, I'll wait.
I can tell you how many?
How many has Joe Biden exonerated from prison? And how many does Donald Trump exonerate in the first 100 days of his presidency?
I'll wait.
340.
Well, the real question should be how many people know that Joe Biden is actually a clown.
She said that, you know, and let me know, guys, this is an opinion. Even though Arce believes it with her whole heart. She said that Joe Biden is a clone.
Wow. I ain't dig that deep, but hey, man, like I said, with these goofies, you never know.
Well,
now, who we talk about?
They're going to be the worst clone in the world, man. Why would they make a senile clone? Jesus. Go ahead,
Listen, guys, I did look at this. Now, 78,000 people so far have come over the border. I did look at something last night where they said they had the Haitians to come in here. But guess what? They sent them back. Hey.
That's what they've been doing that since 1982. They've been sending them Haitians back ever since Reagan was in there. Remember that?
Yes, they sent them back, but they are allowing the Mexicans to come in. Oh, really?
They say they work harder.
You know what, okay. The best thing?
Yes.
Let them come over here. Let them come over here and struggle. I don't mind it. You want to come over here and struggle like us? Be my guest. I'm not stopping nobody.
Yes.
Listen, man, they call it a new nigger.
Yes.
So to our Mexican people that's out there, to our Mexican folks out there, that's not me saying it, okay? I'm telling you what they're calling you. So don't get all in my email it's a racist.
You are being replaced because they know that you don't want to be slave no more.
Yep.
Hey, I look at it like this. We did our share and our work. It's time for us to sit back and enjoy the little fruits that we can enjoy.
Let somebody else do it.
Yes.
All right.
That's why I say everybody think they coming over here living their American dream. They'll see.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's what we up with. And like I said, you know, this is not a game. We just got to understand the semantics of what's going on. Like, we keep playing their game. Like, I don't understand. It's just simple and plain. It's like simple stuff. Like, if you go down in this block, into your block, and there's a Wells Fargo into your block, right? Everybody in your community, 9 times out of 10, let's say 7 out of 10 deal with these type institutions. Let us walk down there and say, hey, you know, I got a bright idea. I got pretty good credit. I want a business loan. No. All right, well, I'm not putting my money in a bank that ain't going to give me no money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ways, see, the ring of power tells you how to empower to stop this. If we stop playing the dumb games, the stupid games and empower bankers, that's one of the reasons, you know, we can't fight them with the physical. We're going to fight them economically. Stop supporting the stupid pagan holidays.
Yes.
1955. You know, we all agree with that. I mean, you know what I mean? Y'all know, only 2 times a year. Like I said, Juneteenth is for protest, not celebration. The Kwanzaa is to learn about ourselves. Now, listen. In 1955, there was a brother by the name of Isaiah Scott, but you wouldn't know about them. Huh? You wouldn't know about them, Bessie, Offset, and Derek. This man was about to start a bus company from Alabama to Mississippi to Texas with black people. All right, he had the collateral, and he was a Mason, so even the top higher up said nothing. Because you don't know, I don't care if you're a black Mason. A white Mason is never going to lynch a black Mason. And a black Mason is not going to – y'all know the situation. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And that's not even one of the secrets. Let me tell you what it is. Now, this was going to happen. This is sure as Bessie is the truth. This was going to happen. Well, the NAACP used the tired feet of a pregnant 14-year-old girl by the name of Claudette Colvin, who did not want to get off the bus that day in Montgomery. So this would be a great story. So we're going to let Rosa Parks, who was a fraud, sit in the seat.
Yep, that's right.
Now, with the boycott of Montgomery, once again, two things happened. One was secretly Isaiah Scott faded out on set. Where did he go? He had the opportunity of a lifetime, right? But once the higher powers that be said, no, we got another plan because we want to get this integration going because it's black dollars. See, the old world, the South was really, the South was losing money because all these black dollars were going to black businesses and they were going on catalogs.
Correct.
So just like the Black Lives Matter movement of today, Same thing as integration in the 1950s. So, like, movies, the same shit. Not about your, like, regularly scheduled programming.
Same shit, different day.
Yep. And they don't hide it no more. Now it's cool.
The civil rights movement was just, yep, it's Black Lives Matter. Now, again, Offset and Jesse and Derek. I don't care what none of y'all say. I don't want to be sleeping on the side of the river. I want to be right in the hotel. So thank you guys for that. Okay? Thank you guys for that. The logic. I don't give a damn what y'all say about that. But anything else, I ain't with. We should be able to say what we want to say because we're American citizens. I get that part. Okay? And thank God, I came in the 1970s. Me and Derek both, you know, Betsy might know a little bit about stuff. She's from Jacksonville. Offset was a baby. She was a beautiful star in her mother's eye. Now I ain't thought of. Her mother said, one day I'm going to have a baby. That's what we talk about Offset. So the 1970s, Offset, because Derek and Beckham knew where I'm going with this, but Offset, man, it was a beautiful time. I was a kid, okay? I'm not enlightened. My third eye is not, you know, or my wonderful pineal gland is not calcified, right? Especially as a child, I saw black shows. Black and pop. When I saw Shad, the white cop said, where you think you going? And this black man said, what you talking about? I'm getting laid. Where you going? And laughing in the face. I said, what type of man? So they was like, look, you hear that boy? He said, no, there ain't no boy. He whip your ass. That's Shad. And I'm like, damn, I'm seeing black empowerment. I'm seeing George Jetson call white folk hunkies on TV. So I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Like, whoa, like, this is something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then here come the cops. Here raising his offset. Watch offset start to scream when I say this. So Betsy and Derek already know. Here comes the cops. We still went crack. And now back to your regular schedule program.
Yep. Here come the cops. We showing crack.
Yeah.
He's a mess.
Yes, he is.
I'm just being honest. Cops are showing crack, y'all. They showed us a really, now there was some fact. Let me tell you something. Now, I know. I came up under the Church of God in Christ, so I know the bourgeoisie, okay? I've seen people who are doctors and lawyers, so has Derek, he's from uptown, right, Derek? We've seen those type of people, professional people, that raise their kids to go to college or set in Bessie. We've seen that. But those are in the 20th percentile. Now, did I like what Bill did? Yeah, damn right. It was beautiful to see a beautiful black woman, like Austin always says, respecting the black woman. They laughed, they joked. She got after him, and she was always right, as most black women are. And I might take the side of the black woman, black man, but you know what I'm talking about. Black women usually right. But my point is, they always got together, right? And during that time, my hometown of Los Angeles, California, was getting tore up from the floor up. Anybody the series Snowfall? That is one of the greatest accurate documentaries, dramatizations of what happened in Los Angeles. If you haven't watched Snowfall, you need to see it. You need to see it.
Snowfall's everything.
Mm. Have you ever seen Snowfall, Offset?
I have.
You know I'm down with Snowfall. That's my show. I'm waiting
Breakfast
for
Shank,
season
baby.
Five to come on.
Yes, it. Well, first of all, she
Franklin,
hates me. She hates
know
the
what? Franklin and got too deep.
Franklin
well,
is in over his head.
Yeah, that's Ricky Ross, y'all. That's all it is.
Yep.
All he is, he's playing
Have you noticed they're all making these shows like Power? You should watch City on the Hill. That's
yeah,
another,
that's my favorite show right
one.
Now.
There you go.
That's
City
my
on
favorite
Hill.
Show. City on the Hill
yep.
is all that.
Yep.
Are
yep.
they coming out another season?
Yes, just like they come out another season of P-Valley.
I don't watch P-Valley never.
Derek, just shut up. I just brought up his point. Okay?
I ain't saying nothing.
I can't die.
P-Valley ain't allowed to. I don't even. We don't say that name.
Are these shows showing violence against their own people?
Well,
oh,
Snowfall.
Yeah.
Snowfall tells the story. Now, I got to tell Snowfall, and you know, I'm from California, so I'll bring it up. Yes, Snowfall is
mm-hmm.
talking about what happened to crack them, and they talk about what the CIA did to our people. Yes, it is serious. It is a great,
yes.
great show. You'd be like, wow, that's true. It's crazy. I mean, they're getting the cocaine straight from that organization. Media, I'm not saying the alphabet. We try to be real careful with the alphabet, but understand, all I'm saying is that it's a show called Snowfall, and it's on FX and on Hulu. And it's your fault. You should have put it out there, so don't get on me. But anyway, yeah, Beth, and then P-Valley is a great show about stripping and a gay manager. Not back to your regular sexual program.
So, it's just the best I like. You know, City on the Hill is about the corruption and racism and all the interaction in Boston, Massachusetts with the corrupt cops. They put a black DA to take the downfall for all the problems that's caused by these corrupt politicians and police officers. It's a good show, though. A great show. Kevin Bacon, you like his action, he's a hell of an actor, and he plays his part.
But you know what? The black DA, he made him and his wife, I don't know what they had going on. I didn't like their roles because it just seemed like they was against each other.
Well, no, it's the way you got to understand. They're not against each other, but they work to make some pits them against each other. You got a DA and a lawyer that live on the
same. Oh, man. That sounds like Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, it's going to be a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always going to be a conflict of interest because you're going to bring that. This is the reason why I like it because it's real. You can't tell me a police officer doesn't bring his personal world into his business world. He wake up in the morning, say he come home, he see his wife cheating. So his next shift is I'm getting everybody because I'm mad right now.
Huh. Yeah, he was a punk. That is the epitome of a pussy. And I don't mean, you know, and that's not to degrade any women on this phone.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like I said, we got to take, like, you, these people that are become, quote-unquote, police officers need mental screening and training.
Well, you know, I mean, look at it. You're the number trap guys also.
Somebody that just came back from Iraq shooting at people.
Hold on. I got to go there. Black people, stop talking about defunding the police, please. Because if you defund the police, who's going to protect the nation? Please. Stop.
We already defunded. People just don't see it. Their top presence is minuscule in our communities now. They're not around.
Yeah, I know, because it was a group of officers. The whole precinct quit.
Whoa, you're going to defend that precinct in Philadelphia? Oh, shoot.
The whole precinct quit.
Is that when they got the PPP loan?
Anybody who thinks that you can live in a lawless society is a goofy. You can't do it.
No.
You have to have laws and regulations in place in order for people to survive as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So all that defunding the police is like, y'all weird with that because it's stupid.
Yes.
I'm not saying giving them a exuberant amount of money, but I'm also not saying we
got to say y'all weird with that because y'all stupid. That's funny because he's right. Offset and that's some new Philadelphia talk right there, some little trap language there. He said that, y'all weird, y'all stupid. That's why everybody let them know that I wanted to interpret that. That means that, y'all really need to go back to school, go back to kindergarten, and start all over again. Since Bessie.
The problem is we don't need the race soldiers in our community. And we don't need them in our community. If they're going to come in our community, they're going to treat us right in our community.
Absolutely right. Obey the law that they're preserving and, so be serving and protecting and preserving. They're supposed to follow by those same rules. You absolutely got darn looky right, Sister Bessie. You're absolutely right.
Put them in the worst neighborhood.
They never put the cop that can escalate. De-escalate a situation. I always put the cop in there and ready to shoot and say, oh, that wasn't my taser. That was my gun. I thought I shot my taser.
they put the ones that got the erased swastika, you know, or a swastika hitting on their left calf when they put their socks on in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And they ain't here to protect nothing. All they hear is, I'm here to scrape up a body, eat me some Dunkin' Donuts, and if I catch them in action, I'm shooting them.
What's the ratio of black men in prison today? I know some years ago it was 2 million. So anybody knows the ratio of how many?
I think it's like 4.5 now.
Wow.
Mm.
He's absolutely right. You know what I mean? It's 4,700,849. That's almost 4.8 million.
So that's 5 million people. 5 million black people in prison. And guess what, Sister Bessie? 64% of incarcerated are domestic violence at some capacity.
Boom!
Wow.
Bong. Go ahead, man. Talk your talk. Bong.
That's right.
And not only that, you ready for this? You ready for this? It's the best thing on set? Right now, the ratio, there's still more black men in college than are in prison. Bong. By 60%. And not back to your regular schedule program.
Okay.
But I'm even concerned about that one. I don't know.
60 to 40, Bessie. More black men in college or trade school than they are in prison. But they won't tell you that. They don't know the great people who's out here fighting for justice. They thinking that, man, it must be bad out these streets. No, it's not that bad. I mean, there's good kids out there, but it's a bad kid that's making it bad for everybody else. Just like everybody in rap.
Yeah.
There are some singers. There are some musicians. Everybody, all black kids don't look like a monkey and get up there and talk crap about our women and you know, whatever. It's just, no. Everybody's not bad. We got more good kids in our neighborhood, Derek, and I know it to be a fact, than bad kids. You know why? Because the good kids are scared of going to jail and getting killed out in the street. That's why they're not outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel this. We got 4.5 million brothers in prison, and
mm-hmm.
2 million back in the day was the world. We had the highest in the world, so we done went all these prisons around the world. We got the highest count of black people
mm-hmm.
in the prison system.
Never believe it, in the world. In the world. That's
in the world.
That's correct. That's right. We're not talking about. We're talking Africa is a continent. It's not. It's not a nation. Okay, guys.
Yes.
So get that. Get that straight in front. Because I don't want everybody acting goofy. Africa is
in
a continent.
World.
All right. We're talking about countries. You know, United States of
yes.
America has more than any country, any civilized country in the entire world. Arset, how do you think? What do you think about that, Arset?
Say that one more time.
America has
more
incarcerated blacks than any country in the world. And I was saying that Africa is a continent, or we call it a kubla, it's a continent. So we're not counting Africa, because we got a lot of black folks in Africa. Calm down. We're talking about, you know, industrialized countries.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been always systematic like that for America. You know, if you actually, it starts in the education system, and a lot of people don't catch that. If you look at the classroom, everything is set up like you're going to prison. You have to stand in the line, and
yes,
and
yes.
You know the seats are in a row.
Wow!
They prepare
you up in school for prison early.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And,
if you look,
like,
really schools, you look at the old schools, Arset, I'm not cut you off. If you look at the old schools, they look like old prisons, the old schools.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
mm-hmm.
you know,
well,
like the PS1s and all that.
A lot of old schools were prisons. Yeah, a lot of them
mm-hmm.
were prisons. A lot of people don't know that either.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice the new architecture of the schools, they look just like the new prisons, don't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We got a school down here in Philadelphia called West Philadelphia High School. And me, Sister Bessie and I don't want to get too lax in my linguistics. Sister Bessie and I talked about this. Like, Bessie, I can't believe they built that school looking like CF, Crumlin's Farmhold Correctional Facility on State Road. Mm-hmm. And Sister Bessie just laughed. She said, "You right, brother." I said, "Yeah, ain't that something? Now they build the schools in boxes. They're like a big box offset. You know what I mean?" Now, we got another caller. I know Coach is really biting at the bit with this. Caller, you're aligned with Coach Derek Gibson and one of the most outrageous sports shows I ever heard in my life, on a Sports Nation.
Wow. Y'all talking about everything tonight. I'm enjoying this. Hey, Derek.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Sister Angela. How you doing? Hey, Sister Betsy. Hey, Offset. Brother O.
Hey.
I'm enjoying this tonight. Like, y'all touching on some topics that really need to be touched on. And like,
how you like that?
Expecting a sports show.
How you like that? Rosa Parks was a foreign. How you like that one? It's truth though. Go look it up.
Huh?
Rosa Parks was a fraud.
She was a fraud.
It was Claudette Colvin, who was 14 years old in that Birmingham bus, but they couldn't use her because she was too dark and too pregnant. Not back to your regular schedule programming.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I heard that before, but I never.
And she wasn't the only one that did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to include Harriet Tubman in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Harriet Tubman never lost the case, boy. I'm going to tell you that right now. Harriet Tubman lived in a rocking chair like Sister Bessie with a gun.
She didn't lose the case. However, she did start the women's suffrage movement in 1831.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, did you hear what she just said? Not Susan B. Anthony. Okay, it was two. Matter of fact, let's get the record straight. It was her and another Caucasian woman who was an outstanding person for rights. Her name was Lucretia Mott. Okay, it's a whole town in Shelham Township, Pennsylvania. Named after that Lamont area, the village of Lamont, guys, was the first true station of the Underground Railroad. Right there, Shelham, Pennsylvania. There is your bicentennial moment for Olasky of the night. What Offset just said is outstandingly correct. Her and Lucretia Mott were the first true suffragists of the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, go, Offset, get busy. It's your birthday. No, it's not until October.
Yeah. Sister Angela, what's your opinion on Coach and all of us speaking?
Y'all been touching on some topics. Like, I really wanted to throw some stuff out there, but I don't even know what I want to talk about now.
Say what's on your mind.
Yeah, like, Commissioner, what's on your mind?
So much is on my mind. I just want, like, y'all been touching on sports and, like, y'all just been all over the place. But I just wanted to say this. I know my cousin may be tuned in. Chris Paul. He been giving out, taking over and giving out stuff in Atlanta to the vegan lady.
Hold on, Angie. Hey, Derek.
Yeah.
Don't you ever disrespect her cousin again. You was talking a lot of stuff about Chris Paul. You ain't right, man. Don't be trying to hide either.
I
know she's a hater.
Don't be talking about my cousin. But anyway, I want to put him on the spot too. Morris Brown needs you, so reach out. But I also wanted to touch on our mentality. So my thing is, I hear y'all talking about land. We need to secure land. Yes, we do. And those of us that have land need to make sure that, you know, your land is still your land, because a lot of stuff is going on underhanded and people don't know what's going on. So
that's right. That's
my
right.
question. The question I'm asking people is, where has that village, that tribe, that true community, where has it went? So the next question I ask is, where has that mentality or that mindset gone? Is it a
mentality
or is it a mindset?
It started in 1955 when we started integration. You know, the path, Dr. King said it best, I integrated my people to a burning house. He said that.
Yeah, he did.
You know, when we used to have black, especially in the North and the West, you went to Mr. Johnson's store, and Mr. Johnson would say, Arsette, how you doing in school? Whatever, you know, even though we talk about the education system, I'm just making a point. How you doing in school? I'm talking about young Arsette that didn't know the things she knows today, right? She would say, I'm doing all right, Mr. Johnson. All right now, I'm going to tell you, I want you to, you know, keep up in school, do the right thing, and I got news for you. If you pass your grade, I'm going to give your mom free groceries for a month, I'm thinking. Stuff that was incentives for the kids.
Yeah.
Mr. Vernon Johnson, may he rest in peace. He owned a store in Watts, and he was good friends with my mom. And he would do that to special children that he thought they were worthy, and they were going places. He would give out free groceries at the end of the school year to families where their kid excelled in school. How about that? What happened to that, Angie? That's the problem. We don't have the role models, and we don't have the businesses. You know,
So I have an example, too. So what happened to the community that looked out for those that were trying to go to college, those that were trying to get out? Because I remember even my doctor in Anderson, he's African-American, come out of Anderson. I remember when he was getting ready to go to college, and everybody in the community rallied around him to help him to get the things that he needed to go off to college. And now he has a doctor's office in Anderson. You know, he's giving back to the community. So where are those people that looked out? Because I remember when I went off to college, you know, a child that lost her mom 12 days after her 16th birthday. My dad was really not in my life then because he had his own issue. He was strung out on crack cocaine. And where was my tribe? When I went off to college, and I say when Arsette came on and she was sharing her testimony, her first show, I could relate to her in so many ways. You know what I'm saying? Because I so love O&E because we come from different walks of life, but we are transparent. We share so that other people can overcome by our testimony, so they don't have to go down the roads that we went down, so that we can get to that place. Because we have to get to that place. We have to get to that place. And we have to understand that the next person is really not out here to hurt you. And if you would take criticism and take it the right way, it can help you to that next level. I tell people, they oftentimes tell us to be strong, but truly, what does that word mean? What does strong mean? Do you have strength? Are you willing to endure? Are you transparent? Can people see the true you? They don't see the fake you. They can see you and your resilience, your willingness to fight and not give up, to overcome, to take you to that next level.
No, we didn't walk in Angie. To answer your question, Angie, again, it goes back to 1955 again, and you can't expect the so-called bourgeoisie, you know, the people who are in charge, you know, the gatekeepers, to really look out for your children. We had a strong, historic black college-university factor. You didn't have to worry about going to the so-called white universities because you knew you can get a good education at Grambling, a good education at Lincoln, a good education at Clark Atlanta, a good education at Morehouse, a good education at Southern, and all that, and on and on and on. Prairie View A&M, shout out to them. That's where my dad graduated.
Morgan State University.
Morris Brown and Cheney. I didn't, you know. There you go. You know, that's where you went. God bless you. But my point is that
we're a bear. I'm a bear. But nonetheless,
you went to Morgan State. My point, okay? You know, you had strength, but again, 55 came, and notice that numbers mean something. 1955 was also the awakening of the so-called the black tribe of Shabazz through 400 years of ineptitude and thought process, right? And again, Dr. Malachi Z. York talked about that, right, Arsette? And now going into, what, the 60th or 66th year now, 66th year, of us being swoopy, you know, having an hour, like your dad talks about all the time on the shows. That's what, you know, and she talked about. ONE Dynasty is fantastic. Because we can have a show that we're supposed to be talking about what people think what we're supposed to be doing. We do it that will. But the show that's supposed to be a sports show, Coach said it many different times, man, this is a microcosm of everyday life. Right, Coach?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Stats is for losers. I'm not worried about stats.
All I know, you better start talking about, you know, Angie's cousin. None of that. Watch your mouth out here.
I ain't got nothing to say about
her. Do y'all know about Hershey Walker?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know the story. I just know he's very famous in Athens, Georgia.
Right.
And,
I used to live there. Mm-hmm.
And he had a restaurant actually in Athens, and it was a nice restaurant. But I guess he was a famous athlete or something. But if you know the story, you can tell me about it.
Herschel grew up poor in Riceville, Georgia, and he promised his mother that one day, once he became famous, he would get back to his community. Not only did he get back to the county down there. And Wrightsville, Georgia, as well as just Johnson County, Georgia, he gave back to his community where he went to school at the University of Georgia at Athens. This man couldn't read or write, okay? Taught himself how to read or write when he was 10 years old. Okay, that shows you about the dedication of the school system right there. Again, Arsette brought up something that I love what she did. She brought me up. I said, children, you know where your kids are right now? And are you? I would tell my son, right? When I say son, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to read this book. You read this book. I will give you $100 if you tell me read the book totally to the total, and you had to tell me every chapter. He said, "Dad, that's crazy." I said, "Okay, it's not crazy. If you give me 99% of the book, you get no money." My son was reading at a fourth grade level in the first grade, and now back to your locally and regularly scheduled programming.
Mm. It starts at home with all these scenarios, and you can spin it however you want to spin it.
Like, they're not going to teach your kids. They're not going to teach your kids, Coach. They're not going to teach your kids. It's a education system, okay? We know that. And you know, you got to send your kids off to school, you know, because you ain't trying to be fine. But however, I knew about – my father told me about Garrett Morgan, not just Carver and Dr. King all the time at Black History Month. I mean, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Who was the person who started Black History, or Negro History Week?
Mm. I'm stumped.
Me too.
I have two people in mind. Frederick Douglass.
Okay. No. Who's the second person?
Mark Scott.
No, it wasn't Carver.
Nope. Nope. Arsette, you know?
Benjamin Banneker.
The Sumerians?
No. We're talking about in America.
Benjamin
Banneker.
That's
okay, guys. The name, no. The name that you need to go look up is Carter G. Woodson. He was by a lot of people, and he started Negro History Week. Negro History Week, right here on these ONE stations, you know, and through that, you know, tutelage became Black History Month in the '70s. Okay, and I came up as a kid knowing about Black History Month, not Negro History Week. And during that time, you learned about people like, you know, Daniel Hale Williams, who was the first person to ever have to perform open-heart surgery. Mm-hmm. Charles Drew, who made the blood plasma. Right now, people save lives, of course, for our soldiers and people that, you know, lose blood and do gun battles and car accidents.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to even get his own blood plasma when he died.
Mm.
People like Garrett Morgan. I got to say this, the great Garrett Morgan. He made the gas mask. When you stop at a traffic light, Arsette,
He did that too.
Mm-hmm.
He caused, you know, a better sewage situations in cities, purifying the waters. This is Garrett Morgan, but they won't teach you that in school.
Mm-mm.
My father,
they don't want us,
you know,
to know stuff like that.
And I'm going to tell you something else that's going to make Dusty laugh. When black people come to your home, and I have a library right in front of the house, right there, right in front of the house, right? And, you know, some of my friends who don't think the same way I do, they'll come in and say, hey, man, what you got in here to drink on? What's going on, man? What's on TV? I'll be like, okay, whatever, right? Well, what I learned is when you invite a white person to your house, the first thing they go into is your library. They want to know what you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hide, money from a robber in your community, put the money in a book. They never go for the book. And now back to your record schedule.
They never go for the book. That's correct.
That's sad. But real. Excuse me. That's sad but real.
Yeah, because I was on the train, and there was this sister that had a book. And I started conversating with her. I said, sister, I'm so glad to see that you have that book. I said, we have lost that. I said, I read as many books as I can. I said, but when I see you doing that, we started a whole conversation on books. And I was pulling books out for her that I just went and bought some books. You know, so we don't do that. I used to see people on the train, on the bus with books. You don't see nothing but the phones anymore.
Yeah. They're so lazy. They want an audio book. They want somebody to read. Oh, read me. Can you read me a book?
A bedtime story.
Read me a bedtime story. I'm too stupid to pick up a book. Goofy.
Mm-hmm.
When I searched for my family's history, it was a guy by the name of Thomas R. Reynolds. And Thomas R. Reynolds, his family owned a tobacco and sugarcane plantation in Georgia, where my grandmother's people came from, the McKnights. And I wanted to find out more information. And I said, you know, I went to the house and I said, listen, I'm here. I was sent by the Library of Congress. So I went all the way to D.C. and went and looked through many different microfiches and all that. And I found out that this man owned my family. Now, imagine that, right? I just said that. This man owned my family. And I went there and I talked to the ancestor. And he said, listen, I'm trying to find information. You know, I believe that your ancestors owned my family. So he said, okay, I'll be right back. Okay, anything I can do to help? And I said, you know, so he went and got the family Bible. And I looked at him. But I indulged him, and I went into the family Bible. There was nothing in here. And so, Bessie, I said, and also I said, well, listen. I said, I wouldn't have found anything. I said, didn't your family own horses? He said, yes. What does that have to do anything, Mr. Beverly? I said, listen. I said, can I see your horse stable book? He said, excuse me? I said, do you have your horse stable book going back to 1840? He gave me one of the dirtiest looks in his life. He went and got the horse stable book. I went all the way to the back and said, you know, the horses was number one. So that was the pride and joy. Horses, they talked about cattle, chickens, hens. And then at the back of the book, it said niggas. And I need to find what I need to find. And it said Elizabeth, age 4. I said, that's my great-great-great-grandma. He said, what? I said, her name was Elizabeth McKnight Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at me like, he couldn't believe it. He cried, guys. This white man cried. He said, I'm so sorry. I said, no, you don't know what you did. You just helped me find my ancestors to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
The little baby offset was in the back before the cattle, before the horses, and before the chickens. And now back to your regular schedule programming.
This is a great show. I'm learning a lot, too. I know I have knowledge, but I love Brother O when you come on and give that knowledge of history. It is wonderful.
Well, I don't always get a chance to do it, but, you know, I ain't just the pretty bald-headed blind guy you always, you know, you guys always love.
Yeah. And I enjoy
and
it.
Nothing.
Thanks.
Yeah, the great best. I'm sorry.
No, I enjoyed everything. Brother Coach, our set, Angela, I really love this forum, and I hope the people out there in the world is really learning and enjoying this forum right along with us.
Yes. And I
the hatred of the black person.
Life.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I said the hatred of the black person to where you put that human being in the back of the book as less than your horse.
Mm-hmm.
This is the type of country that you know, but when I was overseas, when I was in the Philippines and I was on a vacation, and, you know, I talked to a guy, you know, who spoke great English, and he said, man, you know, you could come over in the Philippines and live like a king. And I said, yeah, I could. And he said, you going back to that godforsaken nigger-hating country? I said, yeah, but hold on. That's my godforsaken nigger-hating country.
Yeah.
So, we want to thank our Citizen Ray tonight. Oh, Arsette, I'm sorry. You had something to say. Sorry, babe. Go ahead,
yeah.
DC.
Yeah, real quick, I just wanted to add on as far as the education part, when it comes to our young men and women coming up, going to school, getting education, when it comes to the sports, the sad part about the whole sports mixing in with the education, it seems like the whole focus is, okay, go to school, try to get a scholarship to pay for your college. But that's just it. The parents these days, they'll rather the children try to get a scholarship in sports. But they're not thinking about them long term as far as financial-wise and teaching them about credit and really helping them become stable. Because I tell people, just because you get a scholarship doesn't mean that you're going to be successful with that. And that doesn't mean that scholarship will cover your whole education.
Correct.
So
it's important
that we don't steer our children down that route anymore, telling them that sports is the way out or sports is their success, because it's not. For most of our children, the success rate is less than 75%.
Way less than that.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
Less than that. Way less than that.
Speak on the truth. It's funny she said that.
Less than 10%.
Because I'm glad that my son had the mother and father that he has. My son, you know, and Derek, you know, all public. You know, Southfield High School was in the semifinals his last year in school, right? And in the PIIAs now. And my son is 6'10" tall, I say. Okay? So my son also is a culinary artist. One of the best in the city of Philadelphia at that time. He went to school at the University of Louisville, ready for this, Arsette? On a culinary scholarship. We had the choice to say a basketball scholarship or academic scholarship. We told our son to choose which one he wanted to do. Because we brought him up the right way, he chose the right choice. He chose the culinary scholarship, which makes him an academic scholar. In the dedication system, because we have a plan for that, because the plan is entrepreneurship, so it's always good to have the letter, because I have my master's degree. Everybody knows that. I don't know. I always want to bring that up. But as a CEO, I have to have it because, you know, I deal with business on a constant basis. So it's very, very important for you to have, you know, the letter in certain situations, especially in business. Genesis and Mars, Kent talks about that all the time. And however, what you do with that letter, it's like me serving in my country for 20 years. I knew what I was going to do when I got into the Coast Guard. I knew I wanted to be a journalist. So I got my bachelor's degree from the Coast Guard Academy. I knew that this government was going to pay for my education. So, I served, and they paid for it. my master's degree from the University of Southern California. You know what I mean, Bessie? I use the government for my own end to become an entrepreneur on my own. You see, that's playing the game.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's a big game. I thank God that I was able to do that. And I say God loosely because we ain't supposed to use the word God in all. Because I'm able to have all you guys here. However, for my walk is not anybody else's walk. I had to have the letter to become a CEO, guys. Now, for me, you don't always have to have a letter to become a CEO. I believe that Angela Thomas Smith one day is going to be the CEO of her own radio network. You know what I mean? Her tooling right now as a commissioner is helping her, right, Bessie, to become a CEO of her own radio network one day.
Yes.
Each one teach one. You never get too old to learn. We're still in school. Hello? Who told you wasn't in school? If you open your eyes this morning, you in school. We're going to let Sister Bessie have her last words, then our set, then we're going to go into Gozy time, and then, of course, you will huddle up with these knuckleheads. Go ahead, Sister Bessie.
I just want to say, Coach, I admire you for what you do when you come on the podcast to reveal to many of us about sports. And you're open-minded on letting us deliver other questions and answers. And that, to me, is a wonderful show. I just want to thank you, Coach, for what you do, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All set?
Okay. Well, I just want to say to the coach and everyone on here that I enjoyed this forum. This was a very wonderful topic. And you don't get a lot of these subjects, you know, sports and how it affects our communities. So I thank you for picking this and so much for picking this subject as well. This was a beautiful subject, and we got a lot out. And I need that name again, too, Brother O. Later on, text me that name so I can research the brother that started the Negro League, I guess.
Negro History Week. His name was Carter G. Woodson.
Carter G. Woodson. Okay.
Woodson. Yep.
Thank you. All right. I enjoyed it.
Yes, indeed. And now, guys, it is in cozy time. You know, your mother and father's favorite. That's me. And tomorrow night, we have our news anchor. And this young lady is a wonder kind, just like every single host in this network. We are O&E built. Her name is Chinchilla J, and, of course, it's tomorrow. Yes, it is. News Forum, 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time with these O&E stations. And, of course, Damon Network has advertising to O&E, which is Oladeli and Gozy Enterprises, which is, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment@wordpress.com, as well as in Gozy Primetime, when at Damon.com. We're in Gozy Time, both for Twitter and Instagram, Oladeli and Gozy Appearance, Google+. Hello, W. Malay, and Gozy at Facebook, as well as our business page, Huddle Sports Nation, as well as the Historic Determined Motivated Online Now Network established 2016. And any comments, suggestions, or one for programming tonight, Ole Dele. That goes for mine@gmail.com. And next week starts our anniversary week for Damon Network. Again, aforementioned, tomorrow will be 5 years of Damon Network. 5 years, guys. So all the shows next week, we'll be celebrating Damon Anniversary Week. They'll be announcing that on each one of their shows. And we're going to celebrate what Damon Network means to you. And again, I am the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting and producing nominee, as well as your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladeli Malaria, goes to saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there on Armed Force Radio. Support us on a constant basis. Now, huddle up, knuckleheads. It's coach time.
Okay, what a wonderful show. Thank you for all the participants involved. I'm leaving it on this. Pop Ben. Have a good night.